Well, good morning. It's the first Sunday after Easter, and a lot has happened in the world since that first Easter. In fact, the world is in a bit of a mess right now. We're losing whole wildernesses. We're losing biodiversity. We're losing all kinds of things that are part of what makes the planet work. We're also forgetting about all of us being brothers and sisters, that we're all related to one another, we're all connected with one another. And when you take a look around in the world at discrimination that's occurring, you know that the world's in a bit of a mess. You also know that because of COVID and other things that are going on, the world is in a financial mess too. And you wonder, what's going to happen with all of these things? Is there any way that we can survive the coming years? And the answer is, well, yes, there is hope. But just like for those environmental problems, perhaps us in the West, perhaps we need to change a few things to make sure that we can all have hope. So as we begin, let's start with prayer. Dear God, we just praise you and thank you for your holy word. And we pray that you'll help us to think about what this day means to us as people who are part of your Easter story. Guide our hearts and our minds that we may draw closer to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in a kind of a mess. And when we look back to the first Sunday after Easter, 2,000 years ago or so, we remember that the disciples found that the world, their world, was in a bit of a mess too. They'd seen Jesus die on the cross. They'd seen him buried. And for many of them, they thought, well, that's the end. This belief in Jesus as the Son of God, maybe we were misguided. But then on Easter morning, the women go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they get there, they find the stone rolled away and they find out that Jesus hasn't remained dead, that he's actually now alive. He's resurrected. And they don't quite know what to make of all of that, but they run back to tell the other disciples. And they have some trouble, I think, believing this too. And all of them remain in that place, in the upper room where they were visiting. And then evening comes. And in the evening, they had all of the doors locked because they were all afraid that they were going to be arrested. And suddenly they find Jesus standing there with them. And Jesus has come that they might begin to know God's love, God's truth, and that they might be at peace with themselves, with God, and with one another. And so Jesus speaks to them and he says, here, look at my hands. See the wounds from the cross. Here, look at my side where the spear pierced me. And you'll know that I am he, the resurrected one, the one who is back to life now by the power of God. Sin, which causes death, couldn't hold him because he was sinless. And now he's come to share this new hope with the disciples. In our world today, we're looking for hope. We're needing to know that there's a way forward. And lots of people, maybe in particular millennials, but lots of different people are sort of wondering, well, where is God? Where is God? I thought we knew something about God, and that seems to have disappeared from my life. And I was reading one of Douglas Copeland's books. He's a Canadian author, and he wrote a book called After God. And one of his characters, after a long night of talking about life and talking to his friends, says this. Now, here is my secret. I tell it to you with openness of heart that I doubt I shall ever achieve again. So I pray that you're in a quiet room when you hear these words. My secret is this. I need God. I'm sick and can no longer make it alone. I need God to help give me hope because I no longer seem capable of having hope on my own, to help me be kind because I no longer seem capable of kindness, to help me to love as I seem beyond being able to love another person. And in our culture today, we find that there seems to be more fear than ever. People aren't able to trust one another, and they're certainly not able to find a way forward. We have so many voices that tell us they're the ones we should listen to, that no one's being listened to. And in fact, we start to fail to hear the words of Jesus, who's come from God, who is God, and who's come to transform our world. And we're missing out on hearing him and following him. All of our readings today have a relationship to living in unity with one another and unity with God. That's true in the reading from Acts and from the first letter of John, and also from our psalm today. They all talk about unity and having a common purpose. And Jesus came to give us that common purpose. And that's why he shows up the week after his resurrection, and he shows his hands and his side to his disciples and also to Thomas, who'd been the one who doubted him. In that first visit that Jesus had, he commissions the disciples. He says to them, I'm no longer calling you just disciples. I'm calling you an apostle. An apostle is somebody who's sent with a specific message. He's sent to deliver the news and to make sure other people have a chance to hear good news. And so he says to the apostles, I'm commissioning you to be able to tell the story of God coming to earth, of God dying so that we could all be set free from sin. And then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. It's quite an amazing thing. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And they do. And the disciples begin to become different people. Before, they'd been uncertain about the reality of God and how God really works in our lives. Now they start to understand that they have this message, a message to share with the whole world of the power and the truth and the reality of God come to earth to rescue us. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's like from the picture in Genesis, you know, when God breathes life into human beings and he breathes on them and they receive the spirit of life, his spirit. Or it's also like in the story of Ezekiel, when God gives this vision of the valley of the dry bones, and we hear God say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon those who were slain that they might live again. And the breath came to them and they lived. The coming of the Holy Spirit is like somebody who's died and come back to life, a new and better life. When the Holy Spirit comes, then the church is alive and vibrant. And remember, the church isn't an organization. It isn't a building. The church is you. So you, with the Holy Spirit in you, have this new life that Jesus promised, as a life which has power and strength to live well. And along with receiving the Holy Spirit, the followers of Jesus are given work to do about telling of God's forgiveness. And Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So what does that mean? It means that the church, each one of us, has a duty to announce God's forgiveness, and it's for all people. And God forgives us for the wrongs that we've done. And to warn those who are not sorry that they're letting go of this chance to receive forgiveness from God, a chance to make their lives right. And in many parts of the world, the good news of the church is being carried out and shared by followers, and disciples are being made just like they were in the early church. And let me give you an example of that. In the country of Iran, it's the ninth most dangerous place for a Christian to live in the world. The number of followers of Christ are growing incredibly. In 1979, there were about 500 Christians in Iran. Fast forward to today, and there's almost 900,000 Christian believers in Iran who are also sharing their faith, even though it's dangerous to do it. And in China, those who are followers of Christ have grown from 0.1% in the 1970s to over 10% of the population of China today. In many parts of the Western world, practicing Christians, publicly practicing their faith, that's declining. And in Canada, only 30% of Canadians practice their faith weekly or at least monthly. But those who are willing to share their faith publicly with others has declined significantly. And we're continuing to decline in influence in Canada. But, well, listen to this. This is interesting. 38% of Canadians believe that the church is a really positive influence for good in our country. And a further 30% say, well, we've seen some bad things with the church, but we also see the very positive work they're doing. So people are receptive to this idea that Christianity, faith in Christ, has something to offer. Today is the day to remember that the church is called to do what followers of Christ are called to do, to share this good news. Jesus said several times, you know, don't just hang on to your faith as a personal, private thing. Go out, share the good news, let other people know that there is hope, that there is good news. Help them to know that there is truth. Help them to know that there's a way of living that might bring happiness and peace and joy to not only themselves, but to people in the world around them. Now, Thomas was one of the 12 disciples, but he wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them all in the upper room. And when he showed up sometime later, the rest of the disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he went, I just can't believe in that. I just can't believe it, because you maybe saw it, but I haven't seen it. I need some proof. Thomas was pretty skeptical, and he said, "Unless I see the marks in his hands and in his side, I will not believe." Belief, that word for belief is pisteuo, and it means to believe something or someone, to trust in someone, and to have faith in something or someone. And the substance of faith or belief or trust is truth, is knowing the truth. When you know the truth, then you can trust, you can believe. And Thomas was a lot like many followers of Jesus who were hesitant to believe in him. Perhaps there have been times when they weren't present with the other believers and their faith and their trust in Jesus was influenced by our skeptical secular society. Perhaps there was something that they didn't understand about God's ways or God's truth or God's love. And instead of talking with a follower of Jesus, they came under the influence of somebody who spoke out against God, and their faith was shaken. Thomas's doubt came about because he wasn't there in the upper room. He wasn't having a chance to share the story of the journey of Jesus with other believers. And he wanted to put his trust in God first and not in the words of people. So when Jesus came to show him the reality of his death and resurrection, it didn't take Thomas long to realize that his doubts weren't as powerful as the reality of God and his life and his work and in the world. So that encounter with Jesus, that chance to think about the truth of Jesus, transformed his life. It allowed him to see that he was a part of the light, the truth, the power of God. We all would like to know the truth, which helps us in turn to trust and have faith. It's part of what we seek all the time, is that understanding of truth and something to base our lives on. And our lives, the most solid thing, the most strongest thing that you could ever base your life on is this: that God loves you, that God sent his Son into the world that you might know real life, that your sins might be forgiven, that you might come into this relationship of trust with God. And it's based on the idea that it's written in the lifetime of those who saw these actual events occurring. The Bible is a historic account that shows us the truth. And so today, as you think about those things, is there a way that you can find trust and truth in Christ. Is there a way that you can turn to God and say, I'm back, and I want to find a way to draw closer to you and to trust in you? Is there a way that you, who have faith, might turn to a neighbor and help them to know the power and love of God? We think about those things this day, in this day of unity within the Christian church, and this day when we know we are called to be apostles that are sent into the world to tell others about the love of God. Let's just take a moment to pray. Loving God, we praise you and thank you that you've given us a way to find hope, truth, reality, peace, and most important of all, a relationship of trust with you. Help us to explore faith in you. Help us to find a way to know you and to trust you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.